took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Greetings. This is Pastor David, and I'm with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
And, you know, maybe I need to we change up the opening. You know, we do that because I just then let you. But you got to say you got to introduce yourself, right?
Yeah. My name is Pastor Barry.
Yeah.
And I'm with
Pastor Dave.
Okay, we changed it up.
We did. I love that. This is Glorious Day, and we are doing our best in the power of the Spirit to have programs that will bring material content that will help you grow in the Christian life, because Jesus is coming back. There is a revival on the way. Fires of revival have been lit. Mm-hmm. And I believe this 2023 is going to be a year we're going to see big moments of revival.
Oh, yeah.
In Florida, on the Treasure Coast, there's been a lot of prophecy about that. I believe that's true. We've already seen some things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the nation where the fires have been lit, you know, like last year in various places. So that's anyway why we're doing this. And tonight's theme is entitled, Ask God to Fully Love Others Through Us. Excuse me. And if you listened last week, it sounded like I was dying. But
well, he didn't die.
No, I mean, we're all dying, you know. I mean, we're all dying, let's face it.
Yeah.
But I had when we flew to California for Christmas with my daughter and son-in-law, and one of the gifts I got was an upper respiratory infection that it began to manifest on the flight back. So Z-Pak has done a great job. So I'm on the end of that Z-Pak, but I still have some issues, so.
Well, if you'd like, I can read this for you.
And would
we'll
you
save your voice for commentary?
Would
sure.
You, yeah. This is from 1 John 4:7-12. That's our scripture that underscores the theme.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son in the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So the word of the Lord.
It is truly the word of the Lord. And that, you know, that one scripture. And of course, again, with God's love, there's tons of scriptures in the word of God about this. But the one thing it tells me is that God's call on us is to love, to let him love people through us.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a list of people who are exempt from that. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. It
just made me laugh because I always thought, if there was, can you imagine what that list would look like?
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, you know, that that I, in the early days, you know, I didn't look at it this way. I was perfectly happy God loving me. I wanted it. You know, relished it.
Mm-hmm.
But to turn that around and to say, I've got to love people that, you know, that bother me, that made me angry, or they didn't make me angry, I chose to be angry.
You know?
But in those days, you know, and because of who we are, you know, when we submit to God, it's like we're submitting our whole life. It includes our emotions, our hopes, our dreams. God's going to make all of those wonderful. You know, where we would not have been able to do that on our own.
Oh, no. I mean, even if you try to do it on your own, it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as loving your fellow man with gritted teeth,
yeah.
You know, muttering all kinds of things. Although you may feel that way.
Yeah.
There have been people that I've come across in my walk where they were labeled the unlovable. In fact, David, you were a chaplain for many years, and chaplains sometimes will be called into a situation where the healthcare workers are running out of the room and we're running into the room.
Right.
Because someone has become belligerent.
Yep.
Someone's become quite the thrower. they have special names for everybody, and you go in there anyway, because as you like to say, David, that anger is born from fear.
Yeah.
And these people are afraid. What are they afraid of? Well, it's our job is to peel the layers back and find out what that is.
Yeah.
And not feel anger or hatred or whatever you want to call it, a human emotion to counter their anger. I think about the apostles and the disciples in the early days after the ascension of Christ. They had to have come across some people that were severely prejudiced against them.
Mm.
And if they came from the temple, for them it was even worse, because that was their religion. And now their fellow Jewish people hate them. And yet, what do? They went out and they preached Christ anyway.
Yes.
And with a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is right there. If you're going to share Christ, I think you need to look way above and beyond yourself and say, I do not want to see this person being stood in front of the great white throne judgment. I do not want to know this person is going to burn forever in hell.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so you get into your prayer closet, you get on your knees and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your love.
Yeah.
Overwhelm me with your love that I can share it. Because, you know, you can't bring peace to someone if you don't have peace.
And the most needy people for Christ are the ones that will drive people away because they're extremely angry, maybe even violent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the same time, you know, not everyone's called to minister to those extreme cases, but there's always somebody that God has in mind just for those people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the bottom line is, again, you cannot. Well, I love what John writes here in his first letter. I'm going to read this, that anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And what that says to me, and I think what that says to has said to generations of believers, is we are challenged in that call to go to people
mm-hmm.
with the gospel. And the challenge is to seek grace to do whatever we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a calling and that's a God moment and you're there and they're there, and you kind of know in your heart that a witness needs to be offered,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've got to get past the fear and the anger and whatever else there is being generated, you know, that makes you want to just jump in your car and drive at 100 miles an hour away.
It's counterintuitive to walk quicker into a storm
yeah.
than run from it.
But even in situations that aren't that extreme, you know, we're always going to meet people that don't set right with us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if the work of the church is to go out into the world and be instruments for God, not always knowing when God wants to use us,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't always know. And to be willing to let God give us himself in a powerful way so that he'll love them through us. You know, here's the bottom line, and it took me a while to get this,
mm-hmm.
but if you read the scriptures with this in mind, here's what I want to say to you. It is not about you. This is a you generation, the me time. You know, everyone says it's me.
Right.
You know, and oh, I need this, I need that. You know, I want to go to a church where I can get fed. Well, all right, don't we all want that? But maybe God's sending you to be a change agent to a church that isn't feeding, and maybe you're the one that's going to, God's going to use to have the Holy Spirit speak to the pastors and get them to think about what God wants them to be as a church. So it's not, if you know God is sending you there, you've got to release you.
Yeah, you have to get out of your own way.
You have to get out of your own way, and because you're not serving you. That doesn't give God any glory. You're serving God.
We do God's holy work. It's not our holy work.
It's not.
It's His holy work.
And so those people that, you know, you're not comfortable with, then ask God for the grace to enable you to be comfortable, because part of that comfort's going to be, hey, I know how to present the gospel to these people. Mm-hmm. God will show you. I mean, He's done that to me. And you talk about chaplaincy. I've been a prison chaplain, mm-hmm. college chaplain, and a hospice chaplain. And in every one of those environments, it was wild because none of it was scripted. You know, life is not scripted.
And David, you like a script.
I love a script. You know, and I used to really enjoy everything being organized.
Mm-hmm.
But with God, when we trust Him, yes, it looks unscripted, but God already has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we have to be willing to put aside issues that we have, because it's God's issue is more important. And God's issue is He loves that person that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
He wants that person to be saved. He wants them to spend eternity with Him. And you're one of the people that God has sent to that person to plant a seed, the seed of the gospel. Maybe you're the one, you're going to see the seed sprout, and you're going to lead them to Christ. We don't know.
No, it's God's time, not ours. And
yeah,
it's a gift to us if we do see this person come to Christ and go full flower as a Christian. You just hit a hot button in my brain many years ago when I was being ordained. Not that many, but an archbishop the night before said, "Do you really want to follow through with this?" I said, "It's a calling of God. Of course I am." He said, "Okay, this is what you're in for." He said, "When the townspeople come to the jail window with the pitchforks and the torches and the barking dogs in the middle of the night to drag that fellow out and hang him, you're not going to be out there with them. You're sitting next to him in his jail cell, fervently praying that he comes to Christ before he is judged or before he dies or is killed."
Yeah.
Now, do you love him? You don't know him. Maybe you were just called in. You said a prison ministry,
mm-hmm.
Which is, folks, I take my hat off to all the prison chaplains. That is a tough job. But I think it's very fulfilling in the evangelical sense, because it's right where the rubber meets the road. The devil's all over their case to condemn themselves if they haven't already done that. Give up on themselves if they haven't already done that. And in comes a well-meaning chaplain, Christian man or woman, comes in there and without judgment encourages them. Not judges them, not gives the allotted time of 15 minutes with them, yeah. But take the time to truly take them by the hand, take them to the cross, and allow that intimate moment to happen. That is love, right there.
Yes.
You're a servant of Christ. You judge nobody. Who are we to judge? Who are we to hate? I like what you said earlier, that the other person is a child of God, an authentic creation of God. We need to really keep that in our heads and hearts, that
yeah.
This person, you know, I've had several arguments over the years with God, several, how about a lot, where he told me, who do you think you are? You're not that special when it comes to evangelizing. And we've had this talk before, David, especially evangelizing to your own family. If you feel you've failed that, if you feel that you let them down, if you feel that you put all the effort into it on behalf of God and they still walked away, well, who do you think you are? God's got other a big plan, other people lined up. Yes. You're not the only one.
No.
But it took me a long time to accept that.
It's something that has to be repeated, though, that it's all about God. It's not about you. Because we want to make it about us. And I think it's just part of our humanity. But when, you know, in the last program we did talking about transformation, that when we meet Christ, it begins a transforming process.
Right.
So that, you know, at some point, you know, we're not so inclined to say, well, I want to do this and I want to do that and I'm not comfortable here. And, you know, when it's more to say, okay, Jesus, you know, I'm not sure about this, but what do you want me to do? I want to serve you. And that's when things really begin to happen.
That's where our church fathers set a beautiful example, where they sat down and said, what will you have me do for you?
Yeah.
So many people come to mind. One of them was John Paul II, that one of my favorite popes. But that guy, in his late teens, early 20s, was right there in the worst place you could live during World War II. A section of Poland that was conquered. The professors of his school were scattered. His group of friends, he had a lot of friends, and he had even had a girlfriend at one point. Fellow actors, because he was active in the drama department. He was stripped down to just taking a 20-pound sledge and breaking rocks for the Nazis. He was allowed to still live in a little apartment, but he said that prayer, what can I do for you? And the Holy Spirit had him search out an undercover bishop who put him through some schooling during the bombing and the war and the tortures and the killings. And it was a rough time, but he was ordained as a priest undercover. But he continued on after the war was over and went all the way back to school again to get his proper schooling. But he never looked back. He dropped everything and said, what can I do for you? And the Lord said, this is what I want you to do for me. And that's a gutsy prayer.
It is.
It's a gutsy prayer. If you're going to pray that, buckle your seatbelt. Here you go.
And that's true of any time you seek to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be a wild roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
But I found, of course, I love roller coasters, as you know. And the thrill outweighs the fear. But there's both in that. And I think for Christians, talking about sharing the gospel in the world, there's the unknown. You know, well, who am I going to be sent to? And what can they do to me if they don't like it? Now, in light of that, if you're prayerful, if you are on your knees seeking to hear from Jesus and seeking to know what he would have you do, and you hear that, then you know, okay, I've got to do that. And look at all of the, in the scriptures, in the Old and New Testament, but particularly I'm thinking of the prophets. Most of the prophets, if you read the beginning of their books, they're talking, they're sharing their story about first hearing God's call to be a prophet. And none of them wanted to do it.
No.
None of them.
None of them said, I've always thought of myself as a prophet.
Really? No. No. In fact, they're really desperately trying to bargain out of it. You know, and tell, well, God, I can't do that for whatever reason. God didn't even dialogue with them. He went right into his call for them because he knew what was right for them, even if they weren't sure. And of course, it turned out, and the prophets had an interesting journey in the world. You know, it was not always an easy job, but God had his grace on them. I can't imagine any of them, as they got into their ministry, and even when things got a little rough and people, you know, really wanted to get rid of them, that because they had the Lord and they had his trust and they had their strong faith, that they began to get excited about, you know, fulfilling that call.
I think initially they're probably full of self-doubts.
Yeah.
Jeremiah comes to mind, that poor guy, the weeping prophet, because everything he was tasked on telling his people was bad news.
Yeah.
It wasn't about, you know, you're going to have a sunshiny day and the crops are going to do great. And
prophets don't get sent for stuff like that.
That's the weatherman.
The weatherman.
But, yeah.
They're not always right, the weathermen, but the prophets are.
That's
you
true.
Know? Yeah. And that the whole thing is that, you know, they had to put up with a lot. But God used them. They planted seeds. And even when, in some cases, like with Jeremiah, where his prophecy went unheeded, but people then began to remember when the Babylonians came and conquered Israel and took many back to Babylon as slaves, and they were in exile for quite a while, they then remembered. So all the prophets had to be comfortable with the seed planting because they wouldn't see the harvest. But they knew that God would make it happen. And so for anybody in ministry, and this is not just prophecy, but anybody in ministry, you have to just go with the excitement that you're going to do something for God. You may or may not see the effect of what you're going to offer to them, but you do it because you love Jesus. And when you love Jesus first, you're going to have a love for those people, even though every other thing about them is off-putting to you. When you know that God loves them, it enables you to do that. And today, now I want to bring this into the foreground, because today we live in a very difficult situation. Now God has this. God is healing our land. If you don't believe that, well, I want you to ask God personally then. Is that Pastor Dave fellow right? Are you healing the land? Yeah, or is he making it up? Well, I'm not, because I've been hearing from the Lord and so many people have. But it is still difficult, and when we see what happens in government and all the poor decisions that are being made, all the people that are suffering because of them, the huge debt that's being racked up, and some people just get they can't take it. All right, well, I understand that, but those people that we're having difficulty with in those offices, those positions, God loves them. And if you start by knowing that, you can at least pray for them because they need Jesus, and nobody is beyond salvation, and God has an astounding plan. You know, maybe one day one of those big names in Washington will hear the gospel, maybe for the first time. Even if they're a Christian, they haven't heard the gospel. That's possible.
Oh, yeah.
And get down on their knees and ask Jesus in their heart, and their life changes. And then everything that all the lives they're connected to begin to be blessed.
That's how it grows.
And you got to have that vision. You got to have that hope. But God has got this.
And you pray for them even though you didn't vote for them.
Exactly right.
Get past that political agenda.
Yep.
Pray for everyone.
Pray for the people you voted for too, because you know, I don't think there are many 24 karat Christians in government, right? There are some. There are some.
I've seen one.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
And there's probably more, but you know, we don't rub shoulders with them every day. And,
no, we don't know.
So we don't know, but I think it's more than we realize. But they're there. They're everywhere. They're in the military. I know some in the military. God's people are everywhere. Okay, and God wants to have more of his people everywhere. So our job is to go out there in the power of the Spirit, putting our issues aside, trusting God, loving God, and letting God, saying, if you have to do it in a very mechanical prayer, say, God, today I'm getting out of bed. Help me to love everybody I meet today, especially those that you want me to share a word, or to help them. Whatever that seed is.
I want to help you plant it.
I want to help you plant it.
That's right. Right.
And it's what it's all about, folks.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds simple, but I know it's hard. Because
well, no one said this is going to be easy.
No one said it's not going to be a bed of roses.
No.
Unless, of course, they got the thorns. You know, a bed of roses have thorns. But no, but God makes it easier. What does Jesus say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because he is walking alongside of us, and he is doing most of the heavy lifting. And he is discipling us through the prayers that we have, the time we spend personally with him in that intimacy. He's discipling us through more mature Christians with whom we are a part of in our churches and in other ministries we're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if you're not in any of those venues, get in them. Ask God, send me to a good church. You know, I got to say, and people still tell me, you know, Pastor, you know, I don't go to church. I just go out into nature, and that's where I talk to God. I say, well, God bless you. I love nature too, but the church is the body of Christ, and it was designed and built by God so that we could have fellowship of a very special kind. And yes, some churches aren't doing that, but there are some that are. You need to ask God send you to one, and he will. You might hit two or three or four. Get out there.
Well, it's also a subject for another program.
Yeah.
Is you need to have an accountability partner in your Christian
life.
Yeah,
you do.
You need to have a buddy system out there. Even Jesus sent him out two by two, just in case you start to go off course a little bit. Or they go off course a little bit.
Yeah.
You need someone just to, as a touchstone.
You do, and you're going to find those mature Christians in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess I'm getting hard in my old age, but, you know, there is no excuse for not being a part of a Christian community. If you got hurt, well, forgive them who hurt you.
And go
and move on.
Move on to another church where you'll be spiritually fed.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Get into the Word.
Yeah, because your fear, it's all fear. God doesn't give you fear. Perfect love casts out all fear, and that gets us back to the Scripture.
Funny how that came right back.
Isn't
home.
That the way God is? Time is unfortunately running out, so we're going to have to say good night or good day.
Good night, good day. God bless you in every way.
Amen.
Good night, Tom.
Very poetic. I love that.
Yeah, there you go. We'll put it to music.
Another gift, brother. God bless.
God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move,
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Because you